This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an inspiring message from Faith for Today, a special feature from Parenting Place,
and a health feature from Go Healthy for Good. Join us.
Good morning. It's a wonderful day here at Hope Channel, and we're so thankful that you woke up with us.
That's right. We're so excited to be here. We are officially one day away from the last day of the year 2021. Can you believe it? As you reflect on the past year, we hope with all of our hearts that you will recognize the blessings of God in your life. It is our desire that our program today will add to those blessings.
That's right. On today's program, Faith for Today will be sharing an inspiring message with us. And Dr. Nerida McKibben from Go Healthy for Good is also back with health news. Plus, we will also have our exciting new feature called The Parenting Place. But first, this day in history.
On this day in history, in the year 1922, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, USSR, was established, comprising a confederation of Russia, Belorussia, Ukraine, and the Trans-Caucasian Federation. The USSR, or Soviet Union, as it was also known, was the first country in the world to be based on Marxist socialism. In this new country, the government was controlled on all levels by the Communist Party and its increasingly powerful General Secretary. Industries in the USSR were owned and managed by the state, and agricultural land was divided into state-run collective farms. Over the years, the Russian-dominated Soviet Union grew into one of the world's most powerful and influential states, and eventually encompassed 15 republics. However, this amazingly powerful and influential union was dissolved after its communist government collapsed in 1991.
Wow, it is amazing how such a seemingly powerful organization, whether for good or for bad, could just collapse and fall apart. The truth is that there is a similar kingdom in today's world that seems extremely powerful, but will surely collapse. In John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. Who is Satan? The Bible clearly describes Satan as the archenemy of God and humanity, and an arch deceiver. Satan was once Lucifer, a bright, shining angel who became Satan after he decided to go to war against God and his government. This was no small war, but of course, God prevailed, and Satan was kicked out of heaven. Throughout the Bible, we find that Satan has set up a kingdom here on this world. It is a kingdom of sin, suffering, and sorrow that on the outside looks like fun. The truth is, friends, that the only way to true peace and happiness is through trusting in Jesus and letting Him be the Lord of your life. Satan's kingdom will crumble and fall when Jesus returns. That's right, Jesus wins, and Satan will not prevail. And today we can pray that you would choose to stand under His banner.
As a parent, it is important to help our children feel that it is okay to talk to us about the things that they are going through, difficulties and successes. However, kids sometimes need help to talk openly about some of the hard stuff they are experiencing. Today, the experts at the Parenting Place are going to teach us some tried and true tips to help our children want to open up to us.
Wow, poor kid. I wonder what's in that bag. It looks pretty heavy. He may need some help unpacking that. Kids won't let you anywhere near their baggage until they know that you're on side with them and that you aren't going to tease them or punish them. If you want to talk about important stuff, you have to talk about a lot of stuff that's unimportant first. They might have problems with being bullied, or they're feeling lonely, or they have a crush on someone that's breaking their heart, but I'm sorry, you're going to have to discuss the latest apps and sports stars and new flavors of ice cream before you can get close to those topics. You need to really work on trust and intimacy. Let's assume my boy here and I do have that sort of relationship. Each night we have a chat about the day, and usually there's nothing too serious, but today he's dragging a big load. Let's see what he's got in that heavy bag. How did it go at school today?
Embarrassing.
Oh, mate, why?
I knocked over the cymbals in assembly, and everyone in the junior school laughed.
So you felt really embarrassed?
Yes. A couple kids laughed at me and pulled stupid faces at me at lunchtime.
Oh, dear.
It's not that bad. I probably won't even see them again in the playground.
Honestly, you don't need a degree in psychology to help your kids. All they need is to get a bit of air on their problems, to revisit their memories, and the pain can just lift away. Some problems might be a bit tougher, though. How's it going with Sam? He was one of your best mates, but you said he doesn't want to hang with you anymore.
He hangs around with other people now. He doesn't even talk to me, but sometimes he yells mean things to me.
Oh, that's really sad. I don't think we can get rid of this one straight away, but I can help you carry it. There are no magic wands. Some worries can be dealt with and others can't. This kid still has problems, but he'll sleep better tonight and walk a little taller tomorrow because he knows his parent is on his team. It's amazing how some kids are dragging around so much baggage like that. It slows them down, it makes them miserable, and some of those bags are very heavy. Sometimes the things our kids are carrying are even too heavy for us to shoulder. If your child is really struggling, don't hesitate. Seek professional help.
Are you enjoying today's program? We invite you to visit our Hope Channel Facebook page to let us know. We love hearing from you. We have more exciting things to share with you this morning, but we have to take a quick break. When we return, Go Healthy for Good has some intriguing health news, and later, Faith for Today will be sharing a devotional blessing with us. But first, we have doctor's orders.
Honey, I still don't feel well. I don't think I'm getting any better.
Oh, really? Are you exercising like your doctor recommended?
Well, yeah. You know, the batteries went out on my remote the other day, and I had to change the TV manually all night long.
That's not exercise. I bet your heart rate hardly went up.
Oh, well, you know those dramas I watch on television?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the exciting part, my heart races. That must be exercise.
Hardly. Your doctor said you need 150 minutes a week of aerobic activity.
Well, what's aerobic mean?
That means exercise or activity that puts your heart rate up. Depends on your age, but for you, you should be aiming for about 130.
Well, my heart races when I go up about 4 steps. Of course, I have to stop and rest and get my breath after that. Is that exercise?
Well, how long does your heart rate stay up there?
Oh, for about 10 seconds at least.
10 seconds? You need to maintain it for 10 minutes each time.
10 minutes? Wow. Well, maybe that's why I'm not getting better, because I'm not trying hard enough.
Well, that would be an understatement. Pathetic efforts, pathetic results. Our happiness depends on our health, so give your health the best. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for spending this time with us this morning.
As promised, we have valuable health news from our friend Dr. Narada McKibben from Go Healthy for Good. Dr. McKibben?
In the headlines today, polycystic ovarian syndrome and diabetes linked. It's what we eat and how we eat it, and bariatric surgery costly and cost-effective. Polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, affects up to 10% of women of reproductive age. Of these, 50 to 80% will have obesity and might also have diabetes and cardiovascular disease. In order to study the interaction of obesity and PCOS with the development of type 2 diabetes, researchers analyzed 23 studies involving 60,000 women with PCOS, of whom 8,850 had a combination of both PCOS and type 2 diabetes. Women with PCOS who also had obesity were 3 times more likely to have type 2 diabetes, whereas lean women with PCOS were not. So if you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, be vigilant to keep your weight under control and you'll keep the diabetes at bay. Enjoying meals with loved ones reduces obesity and improves the health of adolescents. Families in Spain with kids aged 12 to 16 were interviewed to find out the frequency, location, and duration of family meals. They were also asked about the use of digital devices at mealtimes, the preparation of food, and the type of communication going on across the table. They discovered that communication and socialization were an important part of family meals, and that there was less adherence to a healthy Mediterranean diet if less time was spent over meals, if the meal was not eaten at the table, if digital devices distracted from meaningful dialogue, or if the conversation was not pleasant. These findings are consistent with previous studies that showed that eating together as a family is related to a healthier diet with more fruits and vegetables and less sugary drinks. So in a world that is cancelling the family, let's keep family traditions alive with one meal a day eaten together to converse, communicate, and collaborate. Five different weight management programs were compared to no intervention for effectiveness and cost effectiveness by the Health Economics Research Unit in the UK. The long-term risks of obesity-related diseases and cost effectiveness of different treatments were simulated using systematic review and meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials. Bariatric surgery was the most expensive intervention, but in the long term resulted in the lowest incidence of obesity-related diseases and ongoing costs. However, if surgery was not affordable, the next best investment was a low-intensity, 12-week behavioral intervention weight management program. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Thank you, Nerida.
Well, we have to take a short break now, but stay with us. After the break, we will have today's devotional thought by Faith for Today. Don't go anywhere. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
And it's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
Jesus did not just stay anywhere. There was a particular house he would stay in whenever he was in Bethany. The house was the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They had created a habitat for the Lord, a hangout where he was the most comfortable. And yet, while he was away, a problem arose in the house. Now, it's one thing to have a problem in China or South America or Africa or some other remote or disconnected place that you may hear about on the news. We pray and we're concerned about it, but we continue to watch TV and cook our dinner. But it's another thing to have a problem that comes right into your own country. Now that gets your attention. If it's not in an area that's close by, you're concerned, but you continue to cook your dinner. What about when it happens in your own city, a little closer to home? You can always thank God that it happened, but in another part of town. But it's really a problem when the trouble is in your house, because you can't run from yourself in your house. Periodically, there are situations that will arise right in your house. And by your house, you'll see that I'm talking about more than just your address. I'm talking about all the things that pertain to you that might find themselves in a problem. Even though you are a Christian and you love the Lord and He dwells among you, you can still have a problem. Now, I don't know about you, but I really need to hear that, because most church people act as if everything is wonderful all the time. So I'm so glad that the Bible gives me a fuller testimony. But in our text today, in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, it tells us, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.'" This seems to be quite a contradiction, doesn't it? You'd think that if Jesus loved somebody, he would drop everything and run to help them out. But this scripture plainly says that he loved them, so he took his time getting to them. He purposefully took longer to get to them. Jesus gets word of their desperate need, and he tells his disciples, "Hey, let's go goof off. I'm needed over there, but because I love them, I'm going to stay back over here. Now, does that make any sense to you? Well, not on a human level, but Jesus was on a whole different level. Jesus seems to be goofing off and withdrawing from the scene for the express purpose of glorifying God on high. You see, we always testify about when we prayed and the Lord answered. And I don't need you to tell me what I need to do when He answers. I can figure out how to react when God answers me. But what I really need some help with, and possibly you do as well, is what do we do when we've called Him and He does not answer? He does not answer. Now, I wouldn't mind Him not answering if it were not an emergency, but this is an emergency. Have you ever had a crisis and God didn't answer? I was counting on you for this, Jesus. Where are you? My home is in trouble. My finances are shot. My bills are past due. Where are you, Jesus? My marriage is failing. My kids are on drugs. Where are you, Jesus? Now, as a pastor, I know how people get when they're sick and they send for you. You had better come visit or send somebody who looks a whole lot like you. People will stop coming to church because you didn't receive a vision letting them know that they had gotten sick and have the flu. This was an emergency, and Pastor Jesus didn't come. He did not make it to the house. He didn't even make it to the funeral. He didn't even make the graveside service. By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and here walks in Jesus. Now, Mary has a serious attitude. She was ready for Him when He walked in that door. He didn't get any perfume or ointment or no drying of His feet this time. She said, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if You had been here, my marriage would have been spared. I wouldn't have lost that job. My kids would have listened to me. My bills would have been paid. I sent for You and I thought You were going to be here." Have you ever gone through something with the Lord where you just couldn't figure Him out? What in the world are You doing, Lord? You missed Your appointment. In essence, when Mary asks, "Why didn't You come when You heard?" Jesus said, "I loved You enough to be late. I didn't do what You thought I was going to do when You thought I was going to do it because of how much I love You." What we're looking at here is the kind of love that's willing to be criticized to accomplish its purpose, the kind of love that's willing to be controversial to work an expected end. He says, "I loved You too much to do what You wanted when You asked me to do it." It was love. No other person slowing Him down. It was love that told Him to wait. Yeah, that didn't satisfy Mary either. She is hopping mad, and Martha does the same thing. "If You would have been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus says something He would say to someone watching this program today. He says, "Show me where You laid Him. Show me where You gave up. Show me where You stopped believing that I could do the impossible. Show me where You got tired. Who talked You into not trusting Me? Show me where You decided I wasn't going to do it." The common Jewish belief was that once 4 days had passed, the person's spirit no longer hovered around the body, and there was no hope for resurrection after that. They brought Him to the spot, and they rolled the stone away. And when they rolled the stone away, that's when the revelation began. Listen to what Jesus says. He prays for just a moment. All the crowd has gathered, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. He doesn't go in. He just stands outside of the mess and speaks into the mess. And He says, "Father, I know that You hear Me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that You sent Me." You catch that? He says, "I'm going to call Lazarus out loud." This should make your heart leap because it means that if He wanted to, He could have thought Lazarus out of the grave. But because of all the doubters, He said, "I'm going to call him out." And He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And so Lazarus came leaping out of the tomb. This is what I want you to understand today. God is setting you up for a heart resurrection. If He had done it any sooner, the people around you would have thought it was you. but he waited until the people around you thought it was impossible. So don't give up. Don't despair. Take Jesus right to the spot. Take him to that spot in your life where you gave up. Take him to the spot that you have covered it up, capped it over, and let God resurrect your heart today. And in that way, you can wake up with hope, afresh and anew today.
Amen. Thank you, Roy, for sharing that inspiring message with us this morning.
Amen. We loved it. Well, that's the end of our program for today, but thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you would like to learn more about us or share with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at the same time. Ronnie Mills will be with us, and we will have a moving devotional from Breath of Life's Carlton Bird, plus a delicious green curry recipe you do not want to miss. And if you enjoyed our devotional thought today, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides.
Amen. You know, we enjoyed our time together with you today, but we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
That's right. See you tomorrow morning, friends.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. Today's Bible promise says, "Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked." That's found in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 13. One thing stands out in this spectacular promise: to sing and praise God. No matter what you're going through, take time to praise God. Praise Him because He loves you. Praise Him because He throws His arms wide open to embrace you. Praise Him for His unfailing promises. He promises to rescue you and to deliver you. Let's pray together to this wonderful God. Father in heaven, You're so good. You're so faithful to Your promises. And we can rest assured that when we claim any promise found in the Bible, that it will be heard. You will be faithful. You always are faithful. So Lord, it's a big day today. We have many things to do, but nothing is too difficult for You. So we're going to hold on to Your hand. Lead us into a new day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.